More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. From 1942 to 1945, the family of Barbara Yoshida Barthume was incarcerated in the Minidoka Japanese internment camp in eastern Idaho. Barbara, who grew up in Cuna, didn't learn about this dark chapter in her family's history until she was in her senior year at Cuna High School. Well, since then, she's been researching Japanese internment camps and sharing what she's learned through talks all around the country. She lives in Washington now, but she's coming home this week for a series of talks about her family and what they experienced at Minidoka, and she's joining us now to talk more. Welcome to the program, Barbara.
Thank you.
So, Barbara, is it true that you, as I mentioned, I mean, you did not know that your family was incarcerated in this camp until you were in high school, and I'm so curious about what it was like to find out that information.
I was shocked. And when I found out what happened to them, I was really angry. I was angry at them for letting the government do that to them. I could not understand how they just went into these camps without a fight. I also, when my parents talked about camps, there were other Japanese families in the community, and they would get together and play canasta and, you know, go on picnics. Some of the, like my mom, they would talk about back in camp. And so I thought they meant like a summer camp, but I thought it was strange because I knew that they were very poor. So I just thought it was strange.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about your family, Barbara. Who went to Minidoka and how long were they there?
Well, my family, so the government gave notice from Executive Order 9066 that President Roosevelt signed in February. By March 30th, which is only 6 weeks later, the first Japanese were taken off of Bainbridge Island. That was only 6 weeks. And they had a week notice to dispose of all their property and everything. And they could have two suitcases. So in April, my parents lived in Fife, Washington. And they got a notice. And they were given a week to dispose of all their property and everything. My sister was a year and a half old. And they were living with my grandparents, and all my aunts and uncles were younger. So my dad was the oldest in the family, and my mom was one of the oldest in her side of the family. So they were in shock, and they gathered up what they could and left and then went to the Puyallup Fairgrounds for 4 months. So it was a very, very excruciatingly painful time. Mm-hmm. And my sister was a year and a half, and was the adored one because she was the first granddaughter, got dropped like a hot potato, and had reverberations from that years on.
What did your parents share with you about their experiences in Minidoka?
Nothing, because I didn't know about Minidoka. I didn't know exactly how we got to Idaho. Was never really curious because, you know, when you grow up, you think your life is normal. And I knew we were Japanese, but there were some other Japanese. It just didn't occur to me to inquire, you know, how we got there. And we have relatives in Tacoma, but it just never occurred to me to ask how we ended up in Idaho. And I can't really remember exactly how I found out about the incarceration, but I asked my mother and was just incredulous.
So Barbara, here during this time, your parents are incarcerated, your, you know, family members are incarcerated at Minidoka, yet you have uncles who are literally fighting in World War II at the same time. I mean, for this country, what is that like, that just that juxtaposition of that?
Well, as I did research, my mother had a picture of Uncle Yohei. And he was the first Nisei killed in the Battle of Bruyere. And I had three uncles that fought. And my mother would talk about Uncle Yohei, but all she would say that he died in France. In doing the research, the book Facing the Mountain has come out last year, is an excellent depiction of a lot of the struggles that the Japanese families and the young soldiers faced. My uncles were wanted to join the draft, but they were declared undesirable in 1942. And then in 1943, they got drafted. And so a lot of the young Nisei, second generation, were really angry. And they said, if we weren't good enough last year, we're not good enough this year. And some of them said, you know what? You let my parents out of prison. You let them free, and I'll gladly sign up. And so there was a lot of conflict within the Japanese community. And some of these soldiers, some of the young men just said, you know, I'll sign up, I'll go, because we have to prove that we're loyal Americans. So there was a cauldron of conflicting emotion and ideas about how to prove you're a loyal American.
I know you spent your adult life really learning all you can about the Japanese internment camps. Barbara, why is it so important for you to make sure that this piece of American history stays alive?
Well, I think that history repeats itself unless we learn from it. And I have found, not just in our Japanese community, but in many immigrant communities, you know, we tend to lose our past. And it's for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's so painful, you don't want to know about it, and you just want to move on with your life. And you want to blend into the community and just be what's so-called normal. But I have found in learning about my history, I had such a greater appreciation for my grandparents who immigrated to this country. Both my grandparents, well, my one grandmother was a picture bride. So many of the Japanese Issei women that came over were picture brides. And that alone had to be so traumatic. And there wasn't anything like divorce at that time. So for these people, men and women, to immigrate to this country under amazing circumstances and weather all the prejudice that occurred both legislatively and in the community, and then culminating in the incarceration of 120,000 people who did nothing wrong because they looked like the enemy, is just astounding to me. And I think that America needs to learn lessons from this, that hysteria, political pressure, greed, economic forces, and people that don't have the education, are new immigrants, don't have the power to have their voices heard. And that's what I couldn't understand with my parents. Why didn't they talk? Because they had a high school education. They were the oldest. Their younger siblings went to college. But there was no political power in our community, nor economic power. So they had no opportunity to fight back at an injustice of this gross in nature.
Barbara, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us about this. Just really appreciate it and appreciate your perspective. So thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
We've been talking with Barbara Yoshida Barthume. Her family was incarcerated in the Minidoka Japanese internment camp in eastern Idaho during World War II. As we mentioned, she grew up in CUNA, and she will be speaking at Boise High School tomorrow night, as well as CUNA's High School of the Performing Arts at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.